Before we open God's word, let us unite our hearts in a word of prayer. Merciful and gracious Father in heaven, we turn unto thee again in this afternoon hour, pleading for thy presence and for thy wisdom and instruction to be imparted unto each of our hearts. As we open thy precious and living word, we ask that thou would be our teacher, that thou would instruct us in the ways of truth, the ways of life, the ways of faith, and obedience to thee. We give thee thanks for this day and pray that thou would be honored and glorified by our gathering together, by the worship that we bring to thee in song and with our hearts as we dedicate and devote our attentions and this precious hour to the worship of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We ask that thou would be with us and bless thy word to our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. With the help of the Lord, let us turn together to read from the Gospel according to St. Matthew, chapter 24. God's help, a desire to read the first 28 verses. And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, See ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places. All these are the beginnings of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. And then shall the end come. When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand. Then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. And woe unto them that are with child and to them that give suck in those days. But pray ye that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Then if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that, if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Behold, I have told you before. Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in secret chambers, believe it not. For as the lightning cometh out of the east, and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. May God bless the reading of his word. We all bow before the Lord in prayer.
Almighty God, our Father in heaven, as we have again gathered ourselves again this afternoon around thy word, we are thankful that we can come here and meditate upon it and to worship thee, our God, as we so desire, as we see fit. And we pray that you'll accept our worship service as a token to our love for thee and for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And as we read in the word of the very things that will take place one day, when the beginning of the sorrows will come, and there'll be many that will be deceived, even the love of many will be waxed cold. Father, we pray, help us in these trying times. Help us in these beginnings of sorrows. For we are but mere men, and many times unable to do anything about some of the things that takes place. But Heavenly Father, we know that you're still in command, that all things are done according to thy will, and that you're well aware of the much diversity of sin in diverse places, things that take place that displease thy Father's heart. And yet, Father, you have patience and understanding, and your grace and your mercy is bestowed upon us, and we appreciate that, Heavenly Father, because we know we are men, and we men fail thee oft times. Help us and forgive us where we fail thee. Help us to repent and humble ourselves before you as our God and our Father in heaven. And we thank you, Father, that you hear our prayers, and oft times you have answered our prayers. You have supplied our needs, and we have much reason to give you thanks and praise and honor and bring glory to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We're thankful for the words that he has penned, that he has given to his disciples to, that we might read them today and know what the days that will come will be like. Father, we pray that we have just remained faithful unto thee, even as we go through the tribulations of this country, of this world, as we hear of wars and rumors of wars. All of these things must needs be as thy word teaches us. But the end is not yet. So, Heavenly Father, we know not when our Lord will come. He even promised that he did not himself know, only the Father which is in heaven. So whenever that comes, Father, we only pray that we might be ready and waiting, praying and watching for that day to come. For our friends and our loved ones that don't know you, Father, we pray that they too might realize that the end could come any day. All of the things that take place in this life, we realize there is nothing that needs to be fulfilled to bring our Lord and Savior back. All things have been accomplished. And so we pray, Father, help us in these days of tribulation that we go through. And though we may not be suffering physically, we have many blessings, many things bestowed upon us. We're well fed, we're well cared for, our homes, our jobs, and we give you the thanks for all of that. But still, Father, we know that day is coming. And for our friends that are not ready, we pray. Draw them with the cords of love. Instill in their heart that they too must realize that day could be in any day. Especially when we're not certain of life. We know not what tomorrow brings. We could be taken out of this life suddenly. And so, Father, we pray, help us to this end and make our friends realize they too can be taken away in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. So, Father, help us to realize the need for salvation, the need for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to be our guide and our protector and our strength that we go through day by day. So we pray, Father, we're thankful for his coming from heaven and spending his time on this earth to teach us and to that we might know what we can expect as thy children, and that we might remain faithful unto thee until the day when he comes back. Be with our brother as he brings forth this message. We pray, Father, that you'll give him the unction of the Holy Spirit and it would guide and direct the very thoughts in his heart and mind, that we might be edified as a church, and that we might be strengthened in our faith, and we might be encouraged, because we know that there is, in the face of this earth, little or no encouragement whatsoever. Only encouragement we can find, and hope that we can find, and truth is here in thy house of worship, where we can worship thee in faith, believing, and trusting. So help us to this end. Be with us, and we promise, Father, to give all the praise and the honor and the glory to thee in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.
Loved ones, this passage of Scripture we've read many times tells of Jesus' discussion with the disciples and preparation that he gave them for the time of Christ's return and the day of the Lord. And I appreciated this morning how the brother mentioned that Jesus did not ask the man who was healed blind about the things that he saw with his physical eyes, but what he was seeing with his spiritual eyes, and if he believed upon the Son of God. And here we begin the chapter with the disciples beholding with their physical eyes the buildings of the temple and them drawing Jesus' attention to that. And yet Jesus turns the attention again. See ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. If Jesus would be able to have this conversation with you, and could point out the things that seem so solid and unchanging and unyielding, like the massive stone buildings that were around the temple, the fortress that was nearby, the Roman fortress, things that seemed so strong, and told you that all of those things that you saw as strong or unchanging would be taken away, would you be interested in knowing when that's going to take place, and understanding more? The disciples were. And they privately asked Jesus, "Tell us, when shall these things be? What shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world?" We see the promises of God contained in the scriptures, and it should bring about a desire to understand what we need to know, to be prepared, and to come and fall upon our knees, even as we have, before we would meditate upon the word and give it thought, give it time to settle in, that all the things that we see with our eyes will be destroyed, will burn with fervent heat. But there will be things, and there are things, that Jesus directs our thoughts and attentions to that will remain for eternity. Your and my soul, the Word of God, and His kingdom that will know no end. Do these things cause us to pause, wonder, and take time to look and to ask our Lord, "What do you think of this? What do you see?" When I hold up the things of value to Jesus Christ, how does He respond? Does He agree? "Yes, this is a thing of value. Pursue it. Be diligent in seeking after it." Or does He say, "You can enjoy and you can have it, but know that there will come a time where you'll have to give an answer for what you cherish so much." Bring everything to the Lord and see what He has to say. Can He bless your next step and your desire? You can know by seeing the things that He is pleased with that are recorded in the Word of God. It doesn't have to be a question of endless uncertainty. Look to Jesus. When we are following Him, when we are committing ourselves in obedience and faith to the Word, regardless of what the many may do, He will be pleased. And it matters so much more what God values and what He can praise rather than the praise of men, is it not? And so maybe we be prepared by the Word. And I feel that the Word that's before us, that I myself and we are all looking at this from the same perspective of what can I learn and how can I be better prepared? How can I, by God's grace, try myself and be assured of where my faith rests? And if it's on a solid foundation, and if it's in alignment with what I read here. Jesus says to His disciples, "Take heed that no man deceive you." You can be deceived when you're tricked into believing something that you know is not true. Some are ignorant of the truth and they don't know any better. But we can be deceived if we know the Word of God and we choose otherwise. And so Jesus is expressing to His disciples the care that they need to take as they are embarking on a life of service and faithfulness to him, and in anticipation for the day of the Lord, for his return, do not leave steadfast trust and confidence in the words of Jesus Christ. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. There are references here that Jesus makes to much commotion throughout the world, between nations, tribulations, and he says these are the beginnings of sorrows. And he goes on to a much more personal application of being delivered up to be persecuted, to be killed, and hated. Then he describes the environment, an environment where many will be offended. It would seem as though the sensitivity level of each individual is so close to just going over the edge that they're always on edge and ready to take offense and shall betray one another, shall violate the conscience and that trust that had once been placed, and shall hate one another. It's describing a wicked place. Many false prophets shall rise and deceive many. And this next verse was in particular drawn to my attention. Because the iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Even in the prayer that we had, Brother mentioned many things that will come upon the earth. In fulfillment of God's plan to bring his kingdom and for his son to return, many things that will happen that will be troubling, that will cause men's hearts to fail for fear. And they are not in our control. And we as believers who are walking in the light of Jesus Christ and his word, whose life is being patterned and molded after the words that we read here. Jesus grants us comfort and tells us not to be deceived and not to let our hearts be troubled by those things. And what would we do? Would we seek to stop God's plan? Would we think that our contribution to the things that happen in the world and history are going to somehow subvert how God is going to bring about an end to everything that vexes our souls as believers? No. We won't. But we have to be careful, because there would be those that would seek to influence, that would seek to even take scripture and tie common current events to that and put about a fear in our hearts. See, look, here's something that's happening. This is going to be a fulfillment of scripture. If it is, then my Lord is going to come all that much sooner. Then we are going to see our loved ones that much more sooner. And we'll see the face of our Savior. That's much more sooner. Why should it worry us? Although the experiences and the description of the things can be terrifying, but we have hope in God. And there's things that will be difficult, and that season will pass. But eternity, where will you and I spend eternity? That is far more important. So may we be ready. Jesus spoke of many things that we have no control over. And maybe if somebody was cunning and tried to anticipate exactly what was happening and could perceive how events were taking place, and they would try to circumvent it, God would have another path. We won't get in the way. But how about this verse? Iniquity shall abound. Because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. This is one verse that speaks of the end of this world, and it really does reflect a challenge and an experience that, like the persecution, like earthquakes and pestilences, have really taken place ever since Jesus was crucified and resurrected and the times of the disciples. These things have happened. This has been part of man's experience. And this is a challenge and something that confronts each and every human heart. If iniquity abounds, my love will grow cold. I might not be able to stop false prophets, persecution, mark of the beast. But where do I stand? And what do I do in response to this verse here? By God's grace, and in the faith that we place in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and the way that he has shown us, this is something that need not apply to the life of a believer. The life of the believer, the Word instructs us, should be filled with the fruits of the Spirit. We should make room for the many expressions of love and sacrifice, of willingness to serve, that the Lord has shown to us. And make no room for iniquity to abound. When we see that forbearance and long-suffering has no room in the words of this world, iniquity is abounding. And it presents for us a challenge. Where will we end up? Where will my heart be taken? Will it stay in that place where the still small voice can still be heard and obeyed? This growing cold is a process, and it's easier than we may think. Slowly but surely, the temperature changes. And we can drift far from the steadfastness of that first love that captured our heart's attention for faith in Jesus Christ. Far from the recognition of our need and humility that brought us to the foot of the cross, that changed our mind about sin from something that we saw as dirty and needed cleansing to something that is allowed to abound. Maybe not so bad. It need not be that way in the life of the believer. And the Lord Jesus Christ leaves the word for us to take this to heart, to prepare. To prepare my own heart. There's often in the expression of love of a man, some sort of limit. We will go this far. And beyond that is painful. To show kindness, to show mercy. Jesus showed us the way in purity. He showed us what is good and what the Lord requires. He gave his all. Where will we stand before this verse? How does the Lord speak to my heart regarding either the growth and dominance of love in my character or the embrace and acceptance of iniquity, lawlessness? We need to be careful. We need to be careful in our daily speech, in the things that we hear, the things that we permit for our own selves. And also, I believe that one of the expressions of this love is that we would show that care in the lives of others as well. It seems like a foreign thing to see someone accept admonishment and correction in a world where it is okay to do as we please. There's nothing in this world that would sort of direct us toward being in a place where we can be corrected and admonished. So we need, with willing hearts, to listen to the Word of God and allow it to direct us there. There's no pressure that outside forces are placing anymore. But it is a test where our hearts truly are. There's a test about iniquity in my heart, allowing it to abound, and also how much I love and care for someone else that may need to be corrected. This love must come in humility. Scripture teaches us, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, restore such a one in a spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. You know, somebody's wrapped up in something that they really shouldn't be going down this path. And you see that the consequences of the decisions that they're making are going to hurt them spiritually. And you're concerned. Do you let iniquity abound? Or do you seek to help their soul? Well, you talk to them, and you find out they have got a lot of reasons for why they do these things. So we need to consider ourselves lest we also be tempted. Because when we start hearing the rationale and the reasons, well, I sort of embrace this lifestyle because I see some concession happening in somebody else that's maybe more responsible. And it's not so bad. And wow, we start listening and giving an ear. And we have to be careful not to be drawn away with the same temptation. And the instruction of meekness in that verse reminds us we can also be tempted to come with a desire to hurt or to show them something. I'm going to show them. I'm going to correct them. I'm going to fix this. But when we look at the Word, we're all looking at the Word from the same perspective. What can I learn from the Word? How can I follow more closely? How can I grow in my love and my faith towards my Savior? How can we be, as Brother even prayed on Wednesday night that stuck with me, to love and be faithful to our Savior to the end? The Spirit can work to show us, each as individuals and as we come together, are we taking that potential for iniquity to abound with the sobriety that Jesus intends? Or if perhaps the world has deceived us into thinking that maybe a little bit is okay. I believe Jesus wanted his disciples, and we can see it borne out in how the word was multiplied and spread and prospered, that they did not leave room for roots of bitterness and iniquity to abound, but burned in love for their Lord and for one another. And we're committed to that in the faith. They had seen the example of the Lord Jesus Christ, and they saw one who had given his all for them. And that was what he was asking of them to do. To take with diligence and purpose the call to following Jesus Christ and commit it to the Lord in faithfulness. And it begins with our hearts. So maybe don't think of giving a little bit more money to show some love, or smiling and being kind to show some love, the various ways that we can express love. But first and foremost, Lord, make my heart a good ground for this word, and let the fruit proceed from there. Prophet Joel told people that he spoke to about this. He said, "Therefore also now saith the Lord, turn ye even to me with all your heart, and with fasting, and with weeping, and with mourning, and rend your heart, and not your garments, and turn unto the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repenteth him of the evil." May the Lord in his wisdom teach us what he wants to do with our hearts and where he wants us to go, and how best we can be prepared perhaps for the days to come, perhaps for his return. Whatever it is that is in his keeping, may we be ready to be lights. May we be ready and not deceived, but holding forth the word of truth. And he is able to preserve us blameless until his return. May God bless his word. Amen.
It's all about the end times and what we can expect when the Lord comes back. And the Apostle Peter writes, "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that therein shall be burned up." And then he says, "Wherefore, beloved, seeing ye look for such things, be diligent, that ye may be found in him in peace, without spot, and blameless." So the point that Christ wanted to make is that we watch and be ready. The Apostle Paul writes in Thessalonians, "But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all children of the light and the children of the day. Ye are not of the night or of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and pray." Amen.